It's time for the Taking Notes Podcast with Julian Robichaud and Bruce Elgort.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 138 of the Taking Notes Podcast. My name is Bruce Elgort, and I am here with
Julian Robichaud.
And today we had pie and bacon.
Pie. We did. Pie and bacon, no. So it was pie day for us.
Yeah, but bacon is every day for us, right?
Of course, yes. Yeah.
So pie, you know, pie is an acronym for something. We're not going to tell you what it is, but what does it involve, Julian?
Well, I mean, it involves startups. We're talking to this week or this episode, we're talking about startups and just how, you know, that there's this business that Rick is involved with that he's going to tell you about, and they help foster startups and these technology startups that you know, can potentially go on to become, you know, bigger, better, badder kinds of companies. And you know, it's the kind of thing that's sort of interesting to any audience, you know, so it's not IBM specific or Microsoft specific or anything like that. It's just, you know, people with ideas, people who are in the technology field, especially the computer field, that have ideas, and how do you turn that idea into a company? And that is one of the things that Rick helps people with.
Yep. And part of the I'll give part of it away. Part of this incubator involves getting mentorship from some people from some of the world's largest technology companies. So it's, again, we broke out of the little IBM box that we've done podcasts before, but I know a lot of you are really interested in exploring possibly your own startup or going to work for a startup, and you'll get to hear what Rick Tarozzi has to say about this particular project based in Portland, Oregon, in the United States. On Taking Notes today, we have Rick Tarozzi, who is the co-founder of Pi. Rick, welcome to Taking Notes.
Thanks very much. It's great to be here.
You know, Rick, I have to imagine that a lot of people are asking what exactly Pi is, but we're going to hold that off for a little bit here and give you a chance to tell, for you to tell people who you are and what you do.
Okay. Well, I am, most people don't know what I do in my real life, which is I'm a Marcom consultant, or have been. Most people know me for more of my side project work, which is, the big one was Silicon Florist, which is a blog in the Portland area that covers startups in the web, mobile, and open source space. And that kind of led to what is Pi, and I'd be happy to talk about that a little bit more later.
Okay. So now that we have a little bit of better idea of yourself, and before we dig into Pi, can you tell us a little bit about the today you're celebrating a four-year anniversary, is it, or yesterday?
Yeah, so about 4 years ago, I started Silicon Florist. It was I was doing a lot of consulting with startups in the area, and they weren't really getting coverage from TechCrunch or the publications that generally cover the startup scene. So I kind of said to myself, why isn't anybody doing this? Somebody should be doing this, and WordPress is easy enough to set up. So I just went ahead and did that and started covering the startups, and either fortunately or unfortunately kind of became the de facto blog for the Portland startup scene.
Okay, now before we get into Pi, oh, and also I guess, you know, it's probably a good clarification that by Portland you mean Portland, Oregon.
Correct.
Is there any other Portland?
Portland, not Portland, Maine so much,
right,
but Portland,
right,
Oregon. Well, yeah. And of course, Vancouver, Washington kind
That's
of falls
right
into that as well.
That's right. Good old Southwest Washington.
The entire Portland metro area.
It's Vancouver, USA, Rick.
Sorry. Yeah.
Well, you never know, because you know, we have international listeners, and a lot of times Portland doesn't really have any,
sure,
kind of geographic significance. How far are you from Seattle? Maybe that's better.
How far is Portland from Seattle? It's about 3 hours south by car.
Okay, there we go. So anyone who can't picture this on a map yet, just kind of put Seattle in your head and then go 3 hours in some direction. So Rick, before I get into my questions about Pi, because I want to find out about the incubator stuff, yep. I understand just in my little internet research about you that you have some connection to the people that did Bacon.com. Is that
yes.
correct?
That is correct.
Bacon.
Yes.
I'd like to get that out of the way, really, you know, just kind of early in the podcast, because that is something that is really near and dear to my heart. Yeah. Kind of this whole bacon explosion on the internet, and just because it fascinates me. And,
yeah, they were.
In fact, I actually read the book.
About
Bacon.com startup, the 21 days or whatever that was.
Yep.
So if you could regale me in, like, you know, 30 seconds or 2 minutes or whatever of just, you know, your connection to that, I would be, happy as a pig in mud.
Okay. Yeah. The bacon story is pretty interesting. I mean, apart from when people would ask those guys what they did, they'd say, well, we sell bacon on the internet. And people are like, are you serious? Like, yeah, we're
beautiful.
Serious. It was really a group of friends, three people, two of whom worked together at a startup in town and had kind of talked about the idea, and another one who was just a fan of bacon and a friend of theirs. And they all got together and said, how quickly could we build a web startup feasibly? Like, could we, you know, would it take a couple months? Would it take a couple weeks? What would it take? And so they sat down and tried to do that as quickly as they possibly could. And it took them right about 3 weeks to build everything from, you know, acquiring the URL to building out the website to making arrangements with other, you know, bacon distributors and butchers and that kind of thing, to standing the thing up and having it running and making money and shipping bacon all over the world.
And that was a neat story because, you know, really they had jobs. I mean, they
yes.
weren't just these unemployed guys sitting around thinking, oh, how do we sell bacon on the internet? I mean, they had other jobs and thought, well, you know, this would be kind of a neat thing to do. And of course, you know, they really hit at that bacon sweet spot on the internet, I think. So that was just sort of a big buzzword or topic of discussion anyway.
Yeah.
So it was
interesting. Yeah, it was interesting that they almost became too successful, where the fulfillment became the real challenge. Like they had built the site well enough, they'd architected the shopping experience well enough that they got very popular very quickly. And it was really, you know, they worked here out of Pi for a while, and we had to move in a second fridge just to hold bacon. There were production lines of like boxing up bacon and sending it out on a daily basis, and they were moving a lot of meat out of here, so they were doing really well.
Wow.
Bruce, moving a lot of meat, I think, might be a great, you know, title for the podcast. All right. So, that out of the way, like I said, I really wanted to kind of talk about that in some kind of, you know, context that had nothing to do with anything else. But actually, I guess it does turn out to have something to do with Pi. So I think I'll lead in with a question of, you know, kind of incubators in general. What does Pi stand for, and what the heck is an incubator?
Okay. Yeah, Pi stands for the Portland Incubator Experiment, and it is a collaboration with Wieden & Kennedy, which is a major advertising firm here in Portland. Most people in the past knew them as the company that did a lot of Nike's advertising work. Most people know them now today as the Old Spice guy. They were the ones behind that big campaign for Old Spice. So, What an incubator does, or, you know, this area, even though it's called an incubator, is probably more of an accelerator than an incubator. But the idea behind it is providing intense mentoring, some funding to help companies go further and faster than they would be able to out on their own. And so we're focused on helping startups, specifically in the web and mobile space, get peer mentoring, get mentoring from other people in the startup and tech scene, and we give them a little money to help them make ends meet while they're going through the program.
Okay. Now, it sounds like, again, just from the little reading I did, that Wieden & Kennedy, am I saying that right, Wieden?
Correct. That's correct.
Wieden and Kennedy, they had like, you know, kind of a floor available on their building. And so it sounds like there's part of this is just office space, that you have some office space where you can go and kind of actually set up a real shop. But now how does the mentoring work? I mean, maybe they're going there on site. I mean, are there these CEO level people kind of walking around looking for people to talk to, or how does that work?
Yeah. So for a long time, Pi was a co-working space that had, you know, probably five or six startups at any one time working in the same space in kind of a bullpen setup. And so at that point in time, it would be a lot of peer mentoring. You know, one startup would walk over to another and say, we're going through this right now. Do you have any experience there, or any guidance for us? Or, you know, we need to find a good lawyer. Do you have any recommendations? We need to find a good accountant. Those kind of like very simple peer-to-peer relationships going on. As time has gone on, we have now developed a kind of mentor pool of people from the tech scene and the startup scene who are much further along than early stage startups and have been willing to donate their time and expertise in helping people. You know, I always say we're helping people make new mistakes. We don't want them to make mistakes that have already been made. There are mentors to help them through that, but they're free to make new mistakes on their own.
Well, and so this is different from this kind of angel investor concept where, you know, someone just sort of, you know, comes in from above and gives you millions of dollars. I mean, you're more giving people, you know, just the opportunity to kind of be in this sort of fertile environment, I guess.
Correct. Yeah, we're pre-angel. So what we do is we provide a stipend. It's $18K per startup that they can use for the program lasts 3 months, and they're welcome to use it however they see fit during that 3 month period. And our job is to get them ready for whatever that next stage is. For some people, they're going to want to take investment. So they're going to want to take in, you know, money from an angel or perhaps even a Series A from venture capitalists. So we help them get ready to do their pitch, make those requests, get that kind of money in the door. Some people are just going to want to get to a, you know, a positive revenue stream so they can continue to bootstrap their company until they're figure out, you know, what they're doing or where they want to go next, so we can help them get there. And then there are also companies that may very well want to apply to another incubator. They're early stage enough here that we can help get them ready to go to Portland Seed Fund, which is another funding mechanism we have here in Portland now for early stage startups. Or they may want to apply to one of the more popular incubators, like TechStars is a really well-known program and was recently named the number one incubator accelerator in the U.S. Or Y Combinator is probably the most famous of this, you know, this type of environment for startups. So they could very well come out of Pi and be ready to apply for one of those as well. We're really just looking to help people build good, solid businesses and help them get to that next stage that they're seeking faster than they would be able to without us.
Now, you say they, and I know that can be sort of they in terms of multiple companies, but is it normally more than one person in these startups, or do you have like these, you know, just one guy with a great idea and you're going to kind of help him build that into a company?
We're still in the application process and we're seeing people all across the board. Traditionally, it tends to be 2 to 3 co-founders kind of working together on the first prototype of their project. Some of the people we're seeing are much further along than that. Some of the other people we're seeing are still very much at the concept phase. It's, you know, it's one person. They have an idea. They need some help finding development to make that idea a reality or even make it into a prototype. And that's why they're going the incubator route at this point in time.
Okay. Now, Bruce, you know, I know this is kind of probably near and dear to your heart because it's local to you. You know, do you have any questions about sort of, you know, any local businesses or local things that you know, might kind of apply to an incubator that's just sort of so close to home?
Good question. And that is something I wanted to ask Rick. You know, being that again, we cater to an international audience with the show here, and mm-hmm. Julian and I frequently work with people all over the world. The mm-hmm. question becomes, is the incubator specific to the Portland metro area, or say in a future pie round, right? Could people from, say, the Netherlands or London come to Portland, of course, paying their own fare and stuff, and set up shop in and be funded, you know, for that $18K by Pi? Is that something that's...
Absolutely, yeah. In the first iteration of Pi, we were very kind of Portland-centric when it was a co-working space. We were looking to draw people who were either working from home or working out of coffee shops into the space so that they could start working together. This time around, we're really looking at almost the converse of that. Can we get people from outside of Portland to come work with us here, work with some Portland startups, and you know, stay here for 3 to 6 months to build their business and maybe, you know, kind of fall in love with Portland like a lot of us have? We see that as really one of the big benefits to this next version of Pi. We, at this point in time, as I said, we're in the midst of the application process. We're probably seeing a 50-50 split right now. So 50% of the applicants have been from the Portland area or from Oregon or Southwest Washington, and 50% have been from outside. That includes international applicants. Our only criteria is you have to be able to legally work in the United States. We can't help with visas or work permits or that kind of thing. But if you've already got one and you can legally work here, you're more than welcome to apply.
Mm-hmm. And not to mention the fact that the beer here is really good, right?
Yeah, it is. It's really, really good here. The bacon, the beer, the food carts, there's all that stuff too. You can live very affordably on food carts and beer here. Mm-hmm.
Anyone from Vancouver, Washington send in an application?
I think I've seen a few come through, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're really just kind of all over the board. But like I said, both in terms of the maturity of the idea or the company and all the, you know, all the different places we're seeing people apply from. I, you know, anecdotally, I remember talking to somebody from Hawaii who was actually going to apply to come spend fall fall in Portland instead of being in Hawaii. But
wow. No offense, that just sounds kind of backwards.
Exactly. That's kind of what I thought, too. I thought maybe we could do a little home swap or something for that time period.
Application accepted.
Yeah, and you're in. I'll take your keys.
So application. There's a 4-page application that people, companies, whatever, need to fill out. Can mm-hmm. you tell us a little bit about the process and what kinds of things – you know, the Pi committee, is there a Pi committee or the selection committee asks and looks for?
Sure. No, there are a couple different answers to that, or a couple different sides to that question, so I'll try and cover all of it. The application itself is very much a mini business plan. You know, who's your team? Who are your founders? What's your product idea? What do you hope to accomplish? Why is Pi interesting to you? And, you know, what do you see yourself doing in the future? Or what are your next steps? The one part we haven't touched on about Pi that I'll go into now, anyone who watches the tech scene, be it, you know, in Europe or in the US or in Asia, one of the current kind of trends right now is all of these incubators are popping up. There are a lot of different accelerators, a lot of different incubators, both at a regional level as well as a state level. And the one thing that kind of sets Pi apart is we, instead of working directly with the venture capital or angel community, we work directly with customers of Wieden and Kennedy or big name brands. So, for example, this class, we are working with Target, Coca-Cola, Google, and Nike. And they are providing mentors for our program as well from their staff. So they are actually part of the Pi selection committee. And part of our selection process will be, are these startups doing something that will be interesting to one of those sponsoring companies? Not only interesting, you know, in terms of what they're doing on the web or the kind of technology they're pursuing, but also, you know, is there something here that might be of interest to Target or Coca-Cola or Google?
Well, I mean, you've, I guess, seen quite a few startups sort of go mm-hmm. through the Pi offices over the last couple of years, I would guess. Mm-hmm. Is there some kind of secret sauce to what makes for a good startup or someone that you can look at and say, yes, they are going to succeed and this is why?
Not necessarily. I mean, it really comes down to people. And, I would say you talk to any incubator, Pi is no different. We're really looking for good entrepreneurs who are really, driven. They've got what they think is a good idea that they should be pursuing. They've been able to attract a team. There's interest, they're serving a market need. But when it comes right down to it, we're really looking at the people and looking at their previous experience, looking at, what other startups have they worked on? What other products have they worked on? Are they the type of people who, not only as an individual, but within this kind of collaborative environment, Do they stand to gain from being involved in Pi, and will we be able to help them move forward? One of the commonalities of pretty much any, if you talk to anybody who's been through an incubator, accelerator, talk to anybody who's run one of the common themes is pretty much everybody's idea changes. The idea they enter with isn't the idea they generally leave with, and that could be everything from taking a sharp right turn to making the idea different, to all the way to dropping the original idea and coming up with something completely different that they graduate with. So we're really looking for people who are comfortable with that kind of change, who are coachable, who are willing to take a different look at their project and maybe look for other areas where they could apply that technology. But really, when it comes right down to it, entrepreneurs who are driven to be successful are going to be great candidates for Pi.
Well, and you mentioned graduating there. Now, I mean, what happens after 3 months? Do these people get jobs at Wieden Kennedy or Nike or Coke or whatever? Or they go on to become these successful Silicon Valley entrepreneurs? Or is there a graduation process, I guess? Do you give them diplomas?
Yes, and mortarboards. Their mortarboards are made out of Pi.
Very nice.
It's more the latter than the former. So basically what will happen, they'll go through this intensive mentoring period. At the end of the 3 months, there are two different events that will take place. One will be a roadshow with all the startups where we will go visit the corporate headquarters of our sponsoring companies. So we'll go to Minneapolis for Target, we'll go to Atlanta, Georgia for Coca-Cola, and we'll go to Mountain View, California for Google, where the startups will get the chance to present in front of a much larger portion of the corporate sponsors. So not just the mentors with whom they were interacting, but more of the company will get a chance to take a look at what's been going on at Pi. And then we'll also have a more traditional demo day, which is pretty much what every incubator or accelerator kind of tries to do these days, which is get a bunch of angels and venture capitalists in the room and let your startups present to them, with the idea being that hopefully there's some funding that comes out of that relationship.
Rick, who are some of the companies who have graduated Pi that some of our listeners may or may not be familiar with?
Yeah, so there's some companies who've come through here when it was a co-working space, where, again, very much on the peer mentoring side of things, not a formal program, but Bacon, who we talked about, came through here and were actually acquired while they were here by a competing site. There's a company called Urban Airship that came out of here. They started at Pi as three guys around one desk, and they handle push notifications for mobile phones. So, or
like
mobile
all platform. Of them, right?
Like all the big names. So, right. if you're receiving a message from an application from ESPN, that's coming through Urban Airship. From Groupon, that's coming from Urban Airship. They manage all that kind of back end. If you have a subscription to Newsweek on your iPad, that's all powered by Urban Airship. And they also do Android and BlackBerry as well. So they're probably our most famous company that's come out of Pi. Another one that folks in the corporate space may have heard of is PHP Fog, which is a company that is similar to, there was a company called Heroku that handled basically Rails implementations on the cloud. PHP Fog handles the fog implement the fog the cloud implementation for companies. So they deal with all your basically IT in a box. They deal with all your scaling and infrastructure for cloud-based applications that are written in PHP.
Cool. And, you know, one day we have to get the Urban Airship guys on because Scott, right? I don't know how to pronounce Scott's last name.
Kvetin
is actually the guy who started the bacon.com and wrote the bacon book, right?
That's correct.
Oh, yeah.
He also, what might also be interesting to your listeners, Scott was one of the guys who founded the open source lab at Oregon State that hosts a bunch of major open source projects.
Yeah, we know nothing about open source on this podcast. No, only kidding. Awesome. So you spoke of application types earlier, mobile, web types of things. What industries specifically are being, I don't hate to use the word targeted, but what kinds of, again, what industries are you seeing applications or graduates focus on?
We're seeing, right now, we're seeing, again, all across the board, this is the first time we've done this formal class, so it's still a little bit of the wild, wild west in that regard. We're seeing enterprise solutions come through on both the web and mobile. We're seeing a lot of consumer-based mobile apps, games. There are quite a few games that have come through, both gaming platform as well as specific like mobile-based games. We've seen a lot of location-based companies come through, but by and large, not much in the way of traditional install on a machine kind of software companies. It's been a lot of web and a lot of mobile coming through.
Well, and you know, we talk about technology, and we really think of computers, and you know, certainly technology, I guess, could be building robot hands or something like that too.
Yeah, there have been some hardware companies that have come through in the application process as well.
Okay. Well, right now, certainly, especially this week, everyone's worried about the economy and, what's going on with America and the dollar and the stock market and stuff like that. I mean, I'm guessing you're still looking at technology as the big bet, that this was not just some sort of bubble that you were able to take advantage of, that technology is, kind of where everything's going. Is that right? Is that fair to say that?
Yes, I think that's and part of the, that's part of the focus of Pi is not only are we hoping that these larger companies who we're working with, provide some insight for our startups, but we also want to kind of provide some learning back to the bigger companies that, different ways this technology can be applied that they might not have encountered before, or this kind of iterative development that is more, kind of part of the small, nimble companies, changing directions quickly and, prototyping products quickly and figuring out if there are ways that those kind of techniques can be absorbed into these larger corporations and help them, make more efficient use of the resources that they have at their disposal. And we're firm believers that technology is the thing that's going to enable that. Mm-hmm.
The thing that I find interesting is that Pi, right, is you co-founded Pi with Wieden and Kennedy, right? Mm-hmm. Wieden and Kennedy is, a media agency. And, here you have a media agency, right, a world-class one, right, probably the most famous in the world, involved in a technology incubator. It's to me it's fascinating that we see that marriage, and that's why Wieden and Kennedy, one of the reasons why Wieden and Kennedy has probably been so successful in the social quote-unquote media social business area.
But Bruce, I'm sorry, I just wanted to say that the big unasked question so far has been what's in it for them. Why
Bacon.
Would they donate Bacon. Money in the space to do this?
So that is the question.
Yeah, so that, there are several reasons for that. It's much the same as I described for the larger companies. I mean, Wieden & Kennedy is a big company, and it doesn't move as quickly as they would like sometimes. So being exposed to this kind of, iterative thinking, being exposed to cutting-edge technology or interest, not even cutting-edge technology, but just interesting applications of existing technology is important to them. The other thing is they're always looking for new ways to engage with the consumer. Where are are people today? What are they interacting with? Where are they living? You know, what kinds of technology do they have at their disposal? Those kind of things all make Wieden and Kennedy better at what they do. And if getting earlier exposure to these companies helps them, you know, make those intuitive leaps sooner, that's all a big benefit to them.
Mm-hmm. So, Rick, just to begin to wrap things up here, when does the next round of Pi start?
Yeah, we're planning spring of next year. So we're going to try and do 3 months on, 3 months off. So probably by, you know, March, April of next year, the next class will start. So the application period will probably be sometime in February. And then we'll take the summer off and then try and do another class in the fall.
Okay. And if people want to learn more about the Portland Incubator Experiment, where do they head to?
They go to PIEPDX, that's PIEPDX.com, and there's more information on the place there.
And if people want to follow your Silicon Florist, do you want to tell everyone why it's called Silicon Florist
here? Sure. So, yeah, especially since you've got an international audience, they're probably like, why would anyone call a blog that? So, but the Portland area and Hillsborough and Vancouver is kind of referred to as the Silicon Forest. That's what they call our technology kind of hub, and like the Silicon Valley or the Silicon Prairie or what have you. But of course, Silicon Forest was taken, and I was focused on writing about Portland. Portland's known as the Rose City. That's one of our nicknames. So the kind of like pun combination of those two wound up being Silicon Florist, and it just kind of stuck.
Well, I like it.
Thank you.
And it looks like you've been blogging on there for quite a while. I mean, how old is that site?
Yeah, 4 years, actually, today. It's early August is kind of the birthday for the blog. So,
which in internet years is, you know, it's probably like 80 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm chasing the New York Times right now, I think.
All right. Well, Rick, thank you so much for being on the show. I mean, you know, the URLs we talked about, including bacon.com. No, sorry. The stuff we talked about, you know, we're going to have the links in the show notes. And so anyone listening right now, you know, go to the show notes. You can start clicking around and finding, you know, how to spell people's names and how to get to sites and things like that. But, you know, this was a good show. I mean, Rick, this is something that is a little bit outside of the normal realm for me and Bruce. But, you know, I think it's really interesting because so many of our listeners, I think, have that sort of entrepreneurial bent. You know, no one really knows how this works. Well, not no one, but, you know, you do. And so this was good stuff. I appreciate, you know, you kind of sharing with us.
Well, I'm happy to do it. And, you know, while we're always looking for, you know, really good startups for our next class, we're always in the market for really good mentors as well. So maybe you don't want to do the startup thing, but you'd like to be involved in some way. We're more than happy to entertain the idea of folks being mentors for our program as well.
Ooh, I want to sign up for that one.
Cool.
All right. Well, Bruce, I think it's time for a wrap. And unless you have anything else that you think we missed, I think that might be the end.
No, that's it. You know, one of the reasons why we had Rick on here is, I don't know about you, Julian, but I get a lot of ideas thrown at me from peers in the IBM community, especially of late. You know, hey, what do you think of this idea? Hey, what do you think of that idea? Should I build this? Should I build that? And, you know, I think having someone like Rick talking about Pi and possibly some of the other incubators around the globe that, you know, look towards these assets that are out there for you to participate in. And like Rick said, you don't always have to be the group developing an application in the incubator. You can also be a mentor or maybe even a co-founder of an incubator. So I think we'll talk on a future show with Rick about how he got started with this thing. But we're out of time. Thank you again, Rick.
Sure.
We'll talk to everyone real soon. That's a wrap for episode 138.